Welcome and hello, everyone. My name is Mike. I'm here with my brother, Dan.
Hello.
And we are talking television. Specifically, we're talking season one, episode 12 of The West Wing. Hopefully, you're familiar. Maybe you've even watched here recently. Come with us as we pull some big ideas off the small screen. This is Rerun Retrospect. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on Rerun Retrospect. Again, we're continuing our watch through The West Wing. My name is Mike, here with my brother Dan. I've seen the show. He's never seen it before. So it's a lot of, we're having a lot of fun. To kind of make everything make sense, we break the show up into various segments. The first one is the intelligence briefing, and we are thrilled to announce that we have gotten an email from a listener. There's someone out there, Dan. It's not just us throwing out ones and zeros into cyberspace. Somebody has listened that we're not related to. But they are a friend of yours. So I'm going to go ahead and read that off. This came to us via email. This is from Alice, and it says, "Hi from your number one listener in Alabama. Fellow Southerner, so that's pretty awesome. I'm not watching the show, but love your bantering. Knowing Dan, I find his comments interesting and funny. You are obviously the talent of the show, Dan."
I think it's clear.
It is clear. I felt like I learned a lot about poker and drinks and bars in Washington in this episode.
That's from you, though. You know more about poker.
Well, I did the poker. You were the one who were kind of setting the expectation for what should happen in bars.
Fair enough.
Love listening to the show, a committed listener. Allison, Alabama, thanks so much. Again, that's somebody that you know, but it's awesome when your friends and family will hop on and do this. So, well, you know, keep doing what we do.
Thank you, Alice, for sending the email in.
We'd love to hear from anyone else. If you want to reach out to us, you can also email us at rerunretrospect@gmail.com or on our Twitter, which is @rerunretrospect. Just like the title of the show, it's spelt just that way. However you're listening to us, you can see it there. And whether, you know, you just want to say hi, you want to tell us that we could do a lot of stuff differently and better, or you just feel bad for us and want to say, hey, everything's okay. We appreciate it. Love to hear from you. Our next segment is State of the Union. In State of the Union, we do kind of two things. We try and dig up some kind of nugget of information to bring context of what was happening in the world when this show originally aired. And well, we also try and give a synopsis of the episode because obviously we know not everybody's watching along. Alice, you know, in the email said she's not necessarily watching along, but that way it gives everybody kind of something to anchor into as we have the discussion about what happened with the episode. All right, Dan, so this aired on January the 12th, 2000. So do you have anything interesting that was kind of happening in the world around that time?
Yeah, that week it was reported that Yahoo profits were up 1,076%. I think things have changed a bit. Right.
Yeah.
Things didn't continue to go that way for Yahoo, but that's no, where it was
no, then. That was, the, I know someone who still has a Yahoo email account.
Not proud, but you know.
Well, that's like one step above having a AOL.com email address. You've got mail. Yahoo was busting at the seams. They had all kind of money.
They were. And then who was not busting at the seams was the United States Postal Service. They decided to go up a penny on the stamp, and they said it was going to roll out the next year. So can you guess what was the cost of a stamp?
I'm just trying to remember what the costs have been in the past. I think at one point it was 28 cents. At one point it was like 34 cents.
I remember 25. I thought 25 was the standard. Like it's going to cost you a quarter.
A quarter. I think that's a phone call. I think maybe you're remembering payphones. Maybe okay, that's what that is happening there. Sure. I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to go with 28. 28 cents.
No. You were right before. 34. They wanted to bump it up to 34. And I remember this being like news. Like people cared. Now no one cares.
No.
What the cost of
no? When's the last time you used a stamp? Seriously,
dealing with a state or federal government check—that's the last time I used a stamp. That's when
that makes sense. Our government is like, we can't be switching to this crazy newfangled metric system. Let's see if it has any longevity before we do anything, and let's keep putting stamps on letters. You know. Anyway, I do want to throw in that I recently watched an interview that Aaron Sorkin did. It was right around the time, I want to say it was around the time that season two was like about halfway done. And he was referencing the finale of season one. And he actually made this comment.
No spoilers. He said, don't spoil.
This has nothing to do with what's going to happen in the show. Okay. I'm the older brother, so you don't correct me. I correct you. That's how it's always been.
Fair enough.
No, I'm just kidding. He made reference to the fact that they had more viewers than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and how he never thought that could ever happen. You can never have more viewers than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But and I was like, we've talked about that over and over and over again. So that's awesome that he was able to overcome the uber popular game show in primetime television. So, okay, so that's a little nugget for what was going on there at the early weeks of 2000. I'm going to read the storyline off of about this particular episode. Again, this is season one, episode 12. It is titled He Shall From Time to Time. It was directed by Arlene Sanford, written by Aaron Sorkin, who's one of the creators, and then stars our wonderful cast here of The West Wing. The storyline was written by a user named, who has a screen name, Tegan, and it says this: when the president collapses on the eve of his State of the Union, it's diagnosed as the flu. But when the first lady cancels a trip and rushes home to look after him, Leo suspects the first family is hiding something about Bartlett's medical condition. Dun, dun, dun. So that's what we watched. That is a State of the Union. Dan, why don't you roll us into the filibuster?
All right. Filibuster is where we talk about, you know, the bulk of the show, what we liked, what we didn't like very early on with the start. It did take me a second to realize that this was rehearsal for Bartlett, that it wasn't. I was like looking at the room, just, I mean, this is like a 5 second period. And I thought,
right,
why is he speaking to so few people? And then I realized, oh, this is them rehearsing for the State of the Union, which was great writing because now you see them go through this process and then you have the issue of he's clearly sick.
You know, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that much like, you know, a couple episodes, we had the Christmas episode in Excelsis Deo. I thought it was cool that this is something that the West Wing does, is that every season there's going to be, and this is, I don't think this is a spoiler. This doesn't ruin the plot or anything like this, but every season there's going to be a State of the Union episode. And I love that we kind of have that to kind of anchor us into what our real lives are like and what goes on. So this was kind of cool. Obviously, I can imagine the real West Wing, the real president and their staff working up toward the State of the Union is a monumental task, and a lot goes into it. I am surprised that in 2000, this is January of 2000, spell check's a thing, right? I mean, this is how does something as important as the State of the Union make it to the teleprompter with that many typos?
Don't worry, Sam's going to take care of it. It'll be fine. See, we all know that Sam can handle whatever his way. But you saying that reminds me that the president got mad about hallowed having a pound sign. And I was like, oh, no, that's a hashtag. And I was like, oh, no, it's not a hashtag.
That's right.
It's not a hashtag in 2000.
Yeah. It's interesting. It really is. I mean, and that's just, it was just good banter. The whole, you know, America is definitely stranger than it used to be. And all that kind of stuff was good banter back and forth. It's a little weird living in 2021, dealing with the pandemic that we're dealing with, to see them all in a room together and the president is coughing madly and everything.
They're like, he's got the flu. And they go give him a big hug.
Right. I was like, ooh, you know, right now that's just difficult to watch. That's a little cringy. But obviously that's just specific to kind of what we're going through back then. That's exactly how everybody would have acted. Are you, as someone who's just watching, when you see that go down, are you thinking this is what the storyline of the episode is? The president has the flu and he's got to give a big speech. And that's what you think everything's, or are you starting to think there's a little more than what we know?
I did not think there was a little more than what we know at that point in the episode. Obviously they drove it home very quickly that it's a much more serious thing than just influenza or just him being ill.
Well, I don't want to jump right into the president and the big reveal of the episode and everything. Let's work through some of the smaller stuff, and then obviously we'll kind of close the filibuster maybe with that discussion. We get to see a side of CJ in this episode that I did not expect. And I know there's been a lot of flirting and bantering back and forth with her and Danny. But we have this scene where Danny and Mandy, who's my favorite character.
I still don't know why she's in the opening credits. I don't know. She just had that one episode where she drove over the curb. Otherwise, why is she there? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, and the truth of the matter is the actress is well known, right? We've said this throughout. We don't enjoy the character Mandy, but I don't think it's the actress's fault. Moira Kelly does.
She plays the character very well. Yeah.
Right. It's just the character is just written. I don't even know that she's written poorly. She's just written as a character that you don't like.
She always just pops up in a doorway with her arms crossed, like, you know, whatever. Mandy, right. Go away. Yeah.
CJ's been very level-headed. We've really been impressed with CJ as a character. She's very strong, extremely capable. Seeing this kind of this little bit of enviness that she has at this interaction between, I was kind of surprised by that. That didn't feel necessarily like CJ, but it's also betraying the fact that she's fighting so hard against kind of liking this guy because she's put the barrier up and said, hey, I can't do this. I'm not allowed.
Well, as she should. I mean, that barrier should be there between the press secretary and a person who writes for a prominent newspaper in Washington.
Right. Right.
But I think there was alluded a little bit when she said, sorry, I didn't check the president's lift notes. What did she say?
She goes, you know what I forgot to do?
Right. So she says,
I forgot. Let me do the scene. Let me do the scene. You know what I forgot to do today? I forgot to feel the president's glands.
Glands.
It was outstanding. Yeah, it was great.
Lift note is more professional, I think, if you say that. But
it is.
That was alluded to, I think, with her sense of humor or just being really dry. So I don't know where you go with CJ in this episode. I mean, she's clearly liked.
It's not like this was a complete violation of her as a character or anything like that. I don't think it's that. It just seemed a little different. Obviously they're trying to drive home the fact that this is that she has an attraction for Danny and she just feels this professional obligation not to indulge it. That's not going to stop her from, did you think Mandy and Danny were really being flirtatious or were they just kind of having a,
but I'm an idiot that way. So I don't, I just like there's right. two people talking.
I know the feeling, being an idiot about those things. One of the things that's hilarious about our show is that we are who we are. We sit around talking about shipping and the romance and all that.
Know nothing about that stuff.
The one thing that I do want to bring up is that we get to see the fishbowl. We know that was, you know, we've had our laugh at the fact that CJ's a grown woman and enjoys a toddler snack and is like obsessed with
like before nap time when they bring out the cots. And just like,
absolutely. That's right. It's like, if you finish your goldfish, you can have another fruit roll up.
Yeah. Here's an apple juice in a box.
Right. So, and we're still having our fun with that. But the cool thing that they're going to do, and it's going to be a theme throughout the series is that they're going to put stuff in the fishbowl that is applicable to whatever the storyline of the episode is. So in case of this one, it's all about the State of the Union. There's a podium and there are two.
Yeah. American and I did notice
that sitting there.
I did notice the pet.
Yeah.
So now I'll know to look for that later.
It'll be something fun that we can call out and pay attention.
So you're telling me the fishbowl doesn't go away. The fishbowl is going to be a constant character, which is more important than Mandy at this point.
Let's pull for the fishbowl to make it into the credits. If we can get that fishbowl and get Mandy out and the fishbowl in, then we'll have it. Being that the show's already done, they're not making any new ones. I don't think we can pull it off, but it'll be fun to try. Yes. The other little tidbits that I think are hilarious. We talk about Sam kind of being the screw up or whatever, making a complete bad decision with this whole idea of pursuing Mallory, Leo's daughter. There is an interaction between Mallory and the first lady where Mallory makes this statement and she says, I do not have an itch. And she says it around Leo and Leo is just completely offended that his daughter says, I don't have an itch for Sam Seaborn.
None of us knew. I don't know if I walked into a room and a woman said she doesn't have an itch that I would immediately think, oh, that's something to do with the guy.
No.
It was a funny conversation, and we both lived through 2000, the year 2000. Itch wasn't a thing. It wasn't like itch means you really like somebody.
Mallory's not the one who initiated this statement. The first lady did. So maybe it's just older than us. When you, I mean, you know, this was, I'm assuming that the president and first lady are somewhere in their 50s during while all this is happening. Sure. And I'm really good at guessing ages. We've proved that throughout the entirety of the podcast.
Josh is anywhere from 25 to 45.
Well, you know, who cares when you're on, you know, when you're a pullout poster from Teen Beat. I mean, really, you know, you're just plastered over bedroom walls all over the nation as the deputy.
I just see him like oiled down. Like, oh, Josh.
It was just a kind of a funny turn of phrase that I was just like, what in the world is going on? So I thought that was funny. And then too, even though this is really not a smaller, this is not a smaller storyline, but you know, Leo's issue comes to bear, and he actually has to have a press conference and kind of go through this. What did you think? What did you think about the execution and what we found out and how they went about Leo coming public about his valium addiction as well as the alcoholism that he has fought through?
Things I liked. When CJ goes to him and he clearly knows exactly what she's talking about and says, you know, this, when is this going to come out? He handled it very well, as you would hope that he would. All right. Things I didn't like is like when he had the pep talk, where they were like coaching him.
Yeah.
They said to him, like, don't say as needed for the AA meetings.
Right.
They didn't tell him not to say he was a drug addict in the press conference. I'm like, we're talking about alcohol and Valium and you're a recovering person. It seems like that's not what you would say if you've been coached. I don't know. And
right.
One thing I did like is they didn't put the whole speech in there. Even going back to the plane crash, which killed the president's doctor, they don't focus on, you know, what happened. They kind of do the aftermath. And the aftermath was how great Leo did. He did such a good job in the press conference. So,
well, and it's a contrast to how he's dealt with his divorce. Now, granted, this is much more public, but he's also kind of in a different space. I mean, this is not something, he's not admitting to something that he's actively going through. He's just admitting to something that he's had to deal with in the past. And so I'm kind of interested, though, when they're doing that coaching session, they actually say, you know, it's not a, was the Secret Service or the FBI or whoever, were they, you know, worried about someone with your kind of power being in this position?
No, he got defiant. He got kind of a little mad, right? He's like, well, I was going to sell secrets to Libya.
Right. Well, I mean, and I kind of understand that because I do think that our society kind of amplifies something the moment it gets found out, even though it was something that happened in the past. Nobody, you know, the key point here is that he's recovering. He's not actively using alcohol in an addictive manner. He's not drinking at all. He's not currently on Valium or anything. He's just coming out and saying, I dealt with this. Now it gets a little shady because, you know, when we first found out about this, Sam said something about the fact that he was high when he's running the labor department. And so that's not going to look good. That's going to be a PR problem. But I don't know. I'm just of the belief that everybody on the planet has made mistakes in their life. There are things that, you know, to be honest, especially when it's dealt with addiction, you hear more horror stories than you hear victories. And the fact that he has gotten the help that he needed and is actively still walking in the recovery that he started. I mean, that should be something that's in my mind. Again, maybe I'm too idealistic.
It's celebrated.
In my mind,
right?
it should be celebrated 100% rather than.
Okay. So I think that transitions very well into Josh and Sam. When they went to him and he told them, I don't want to be a part of this. Don't write a letter to the president to make things better. And they still did it. They didn't learn from what happened with Lori, where he was like, go back and apologize to that girl. Do you think that what they did was the right decision because they're doing it for Leo? Or do you think you haven't learned? Leo's in charge. You are supposed to take the direction from him. I'm interested to hear what you say because I have an opinion as well.
I definitely think that this, just from a visual standpoint, the way Josh and Sam handle this is a much, you're not sitting there shaking your head going, what are y'all doing? Right? Because they're motivated by their, you know, admiration and their concern and how much they love Leo. Right? So that's what's making them do this. Before, when they were dealing with Lori, I mean, this was, they were still motivated by the same thing, but they're also, they're hurting Lori in kind of doing this. They're putting her in a horrible situation. This is something that Leo even said, this is not what we do. So their defiance was a little more, it was also more risky, I think, than even this. Whereas in this one, Leo's like, you know, this is not, you know, and I know he's very frustrated as it goes on, but this doesn't hurt anybody like the Lori situation does, I think. I understand that it's against his wishes, but I think visually, I don't look at this like this is a huge mistake they're both making, like I did when they went to Lori's house trying to find out if there were any of their adversaries had ever used her services.
I think my opinion is he or Leo is in charge. And for the second time, they've completely gone against what he said. And even Sam says at some point, take it for what it is or whatever. And I'm like, no. In my professional life, if the person above you has told you to do something that's, unless it's unethical, you do it. You don't have, and I mean, I don't have a military background. You do. You do it. Like, that's, there's no question. You don't go by, I kind of turned on Sam and Josh. And even Josh, like, trying to take the blame for it and Sam having to say, no, I gave it to the president. I'm not. In that moment, I'm cheering for Leo and not either one of those two characters. Josh and Sam in that moment, I'm like, y'all screwed up. What, you know, whatever happens because of this, this is a screw up on your part.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, there's a chain of command here and it goes the president and then Leo. And so, and you have to do what the chief of staff says. Yeah, I mean that. And I'm a veteran. I have a military background. It doesn't get closer to being in the military than working in the government like this. I mean, this is, you know, sometimes in the business world.
Well, I have just a public educator background, and I've been a head coach and an assistant coach. And if I'm an assistant coach, I do what the head coach says, no matter what.
Yeah.
Unless it's unethical, right. I do what he told me to do. Right. So,
but we also kind of know that, I mean, I guess we can make the argument Leo's going against what the president said. The president, you know, Leo's ready to resign. He really thinks he's going to have to fall on his sword. Everybody else around him is like, we're not going to let that happen, including the president, who said, I'm not accepting your resignation. I don't think this is, we're just going to weather through this.
Yeah, and I agree if the president got involved with Josh and Sam. If the president said to Josh and Sam, do whatever, then obviously it trumps Leo. Sure. But that's not what was portrayed in the episode. So in the end, I feel like Leo is again being betrayed by Josh and Sam, and not betrayed, but they don't know their place. Like, they haven't learned their lesson. So second time, they haven't learned their lesson.
Josh and Sam?
No, Sam's still the screw up. Josh can pull it together. I don't think Sam can.
Well, but I mean, but Josh is also going to be the heated, wants to, you know, he's ready for a fight, right? I mean, and so I don't even think it's that far. It's not even that far away from his character that he's kind of defiant in this way and does this because he cares so much, right? I mean, remember what Donna said when she found out, you know, if this was one of us, Leo would be doing whatever he could for us. And, you know, so everybody's trying to weigh all of this stuff, and they're just not going to let Leo fall. Again, they're not going to let Leo self-implode.
Donna should be in the opening credits and not Mandy. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Mandy drives me absolutely crazy. All right, I will say this. The fact that Sam has all this okay, what we've seen in the series so far is there are pickup basketball games in the parking lot. There's poker games. There's beer runs out to Georgetown. For people who have very important jobs.
That's not a beer run. They just went out to Georgetown to have some drinks with some college boys.
With some college boys and hit on the graduate students in their shirt and ties. They seem to have a lot of free time on their hands to have these important jobs that caused them. I mean, Leo's at the office till 3 a.m. and coming home, and his wife is leaving him because of it. The episode's been very good, and we haven't even really talked about the crux. I think the main point of this episode is the reveal that the president has MS. So I'll ask you this question, Dan. At what point in the episode did you start to realize this really is not the flu? There's something more to this. Was it, you have the interaction of the president and the first lady in the bedroom where she's kind of hinting about, was it like this or was it like this? And you just kind of start to feel like maybe this, to me, start to feel like it's more, or is it not till she's meeting with Leo and Leo's really pressing her when you start to realize something's amiss?
Well, I'm not a very intelligent man, so it was not until she was meeting with Leo. That's when I was like, ah, something else is going on here.
Yes.
And it was very well written. Enjoyed the reveal. I don't know how they should respond to all that information, like, because MS isn't something that really affects your mental ability. It seemed like, I don't know.
All right, so let me ask you, let's apply it to real life. I think that's the best way to kind of judge it. If you look down on your phone and there's an alert from whatever news you subscribe to, and it says the president has just revealed that he has and has had for multiple years, even prior to the election, been diagnosed with MS. What's your initial response?
But that didn't happen this episode. No one knows other than Leo and his wife. And
oh, I understand that. But we're talking about the situation of having MS. So I'm wondering, I mean, we're trying to get our feelings on. I guess that's the question I'm asking. This is a medical thing. We live in a world that has HIPAA regulations, and you should have privacy when it comes to your medical stuff. And that all starts to get a little gray when you start talking about an elected official and that kind of thing. So I guess that's what I'm asking is that, yes, I agree. Only Leo, the first lady, the president really know what's going on right now. Do you think that that's appropriate? Is that how it should be?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. I mean, a lot of it, I guess it, I mean, do you know what, oh, we know because they say in the episode, but MS is multiple sclerosis. What are the symptoms of having multiple sclerosis?
Apparently it's falling with the flu. I don't know.
Well, but that's the point. I think that's the point I'm trying to drive to, is that I'm not a doctor, and I know you have a lot of friends. You have friends that are doctors and lawyers, and it would be interesting to kind of have these conversations maybe with some of the people in your circle. I would be interested to what a lawyer would think about this. Obviously a doctor is going to have a much better grasp of the actual physiological issues that are going to go along with MS. But I think to the point of your response, the truth of the matter is a lot of the country wouldn't even really know. And they're either going to over-dramatize it, that it's, you know, this is a horrible, horrible thing, or they're just going to be dismissive because they don't really know, you know, what does it mean? I mean, what if it was a different diagnosis? What if the diagnosis was it's early onset Alzheimer's?
Well, that's different because it's cognitive, right?
Right, right.
So and, MS, my understanding is it's not cognitive.
Okay. So, is it fatal?
And they have that whole conversation where Leo says, why didn't you tell me? And he says, because I wanted to be president. And Leo says, oh, I would still would have gotten you to be president.
Right. That's a little little cocky of Leo. Leo's just like, is Leo just has the ability.
Leo already helped someone become president, so Leo can be a little cocky.
I guess so. I guess
he's right. Like, I was on Valium and drunk the whole time, and I still got this figured out.
A very touching moment. Very touching moment when they kind of go through that. Having a lot of feels, especially two men who are very much A personalities and, you know, strong leadership qualities and all that kind of stuff, to have that level of connectivity. I felt like it was very well written, and even executed in a way that there was a lot of vulnerability that a lot of times people in those positions and with those characteristics aren't able to express very well. So I don't know that there necessarily has to be a comment there. I just kind of thought that was really good. A lot of what happens in the rest of the bedroom scene, right? Because we kind of get these, we have that scene, the Leo talking to the president, which moves directly into Lord John Marbury, who you've already impersonated, I'll say. I like Lord John Marbury. I think he's an excellent secondary character. He's never going to show up in the credits. I'd throw him in there on top of Mandy if we could, but we can't. And rightly so. I don't think he's supposed to be there. But extremely interesting. Just, I mean, when he has that at the last episode at the end, when he has that little discussion with the staff, when he has this discussion and kind of lays out what they need to do about this confrontation between Pakistan and India, it's just very interesting, done very, very well. A lot of cool concepts there. I mean, literally says this. I had it written down. I was going to try and use it as one of my quotes, but it's just interesting. It's either Leo or the president. They're kind of referencing the fact that why do we have to be the ones to do this? And he says, well, it's for being rich, free, and alive all at the same time. And I thought that's a very interesting concept, that literally your your circumstance kind of drives this social responsibility that you have, because you have this, you've had this favor, this, you know, for lack of a better word, this blessing bestowed upon you, there's a responsibility to having that. I thought that was interesting for him to say. And Leo and the president really don't push back on it at all. I mean, they kind of nod their head and kind of understand once he says that, yeah, that's why we're trying to make things right. So anyway, I mean, any thoughts on that scene at all as we close down toward the end of the episode?
Well, I don't know if that character is ever going to come back, but he's a very likable character. And yeah, there was controversy when the president brought him in. Right. Leo was not having it at all. So,
and interesting too, his interaction, all of his interaction with Leo in the previous episode was kind of making fun of him. And, you know, and I think he's doing that to be funny. He's not really being disrespectful. But now that Leo's come out about the issues that he's having, I think Lord John Mulray shows the appropriate amount of restraint and goes, you know, that's just not appropriate to joke with him in that way. I don't know. Again, I'm pretty idealistic and I attribute these grand things that maybe are not even supposed to be that way. So that's all right. And then the final scene in that bedroom that happens is when Toby comes in and decides that he really wants to change. He wants to remove the line of the era of big government. The era of big government is behind us. Do you remember exactly what the quote was?
No, not off the top of my head. No,
I know. That bugs me when I get a quote wrong. I usually, I think it's the era of big government is over. And Toby kind of has his own little idealistic, you know, government should be where people, you know, come to, you know, it should be where people are empowered and no one's left behind and all that kind of stuff. I'm a broken record, whatever. It is what it is. I love the Toby character. You know, you can fight with me, I'll lose and we'll call in the next group. But Toby is just, even with the idea, and I don't always agree with everything that he's saying politically in his stance or everything, I just love how passionately he goes after what his convictions are. And also kind of the self-deprecation that he puts himself through and how he does it.
Yeah, Toby's very likable in this episode. I mean, he has the whole battle with his own Democrats where they're telling him to deal with the National Arts Foundation.
The National Endowment for the Arts. National Endowment for the Arts.
So they, I mean, he's likable the whole way through. And that'll bring me to a lighter note. Maybe it's not lighter, but Toby, when he deals with that, he mentions FDR. Or he says Roosevelt, but I assume he's talking about FDR. In that moment, when it happened, when I was watching, I thought in his head he was going, there's something physically wrong with the president. But really, it was all about politics to fix that. And I was like, wow, I'm dumb. Yeah.
You thought it was like some kind of foreshadowing or something like that, right?
Right. Like he had that moment where he just stopped talking to the people he was speaking with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I thought for just a second. It's kind of like at the beginning of the episode where I didn't realize it was a rehearsal.
Right.
Just like, just for 2 seconds, I felt really smart. And then just, I'm stupid.
Right. I know the feeling. I definitely know the feeling. So, all right. So anything else for the filibuster? I think we...
I'll go quick. Just the heavy romance at the end. Sam and Mallory, the PDA. Come on. Come on, Mallory. Take it to another room. Go somewhere else. Well, that's what you should be doing.
The point was she was taken over by the moment. It wasn't like she walked over there ready to do this. So she was just kind of swept away in the hunkiness that is Sam Seaborn, right? I mean, you probably don't understand. I've had this happen to me a couple times.
Right. Yeah.
No.
I need you to enlighten me on that.
I'm completely kidding there. But that was funny. I think even CJ's reaction to it too. Like when CJ calls her assistant Carol over, her whole demeanor is she's like, is Danny Kincannon in? You know? And I'm like, I wonder what Carol's thinking. She's like, oh my goodness, boss, can you, you know, go drink some water.
Tone it down. Tone it down. And that's obviously my next thing. CJ and Danny, what did you think about? I mean, is CJ just botching everything? It's like, that's her career. She's making a bad career choice right now.
She has confirmation bias going on because she thinks I'm going to do this and I'm just going to get over it. And she's using that to justify doing what she's already decided is the wrong choice. I think we can all relate with doing that at some point in our life. I don't think she's crossed a line at this point that she can't recover from. Was it inappropriate? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. She can back up from it though. She, you know, it's not like she's like, oh, I'm now having your child or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think part of it's comic relief. And it's funny to me that Danny just has this level of confidence, you know, for someone who gets inaccurately placed into the movie Mr. Holland's Opus. He has this you know, this kind of suave confidence.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, CJ's not going to have this. Maybe Mandy. I don't know. Whatever. I'll go wherever I need to go.
Even when they have that instance in the office, though, he's like, you think you're going to kiss me and just get over it? Well, come on, let's go. I mean, I was just like, I don't know. I guess that's just so foreign. I mean, feeling that way in those kind of situations, or even being in that situation, is so foreign to me. It's just, it was, you know, that was kind of strange, but it was fun to watch. You know, this episode did really good with the comedy. CJ running into the door, trying to take the fish with her, all that stuff just kind of lined up well. And it was a fun scene. A lot of fun happening there at the end. And I'm sure it's not over. I'm sure we're not done with the Danny, CJ, Mallory, you know, the Lori and Sam singing karaoke into pickles and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I can't wait till Lori gets back in this. That'll be good.
Are you excited?
No, I mean, she needs to come back in.
Well, every great show has a love triangle. You know, it seems like it's always there. All right. So I think that closes us out for the filibuster. Why don't you move us into the caucus?
All right. So we got to say yay, nay, or abstain, saying if we like the show or not, or the episode.
This particular episode. So only options are yay, nay, and abstain. I'm a yay on this one. This was like the first. Of course I am. Rubber stamp. I'm a fanboy. It is what it is. Don't be surprised. Don't expect anything different in the future. This was the first kind of jaw drop reveal that we've had in the series. I think when we get to the fact that when the first lady actually comes clean and says he has MS, I mean, you're really hard. You might have some suspicions that we don't know the whole truth, but to nail the fact that this was a long-term disease that they've covered up and everything, that was a complete surprise. And I always enjoy the big twists, you know, that you aren't expecting. I'm even to the point now, I don't even try and guess that stuff. When I'm watching a show and I'm enjoying it, I don't try and guess that stuff because it kind of takes away. Too many times when you find out you're wrong, you almost don't like what they said because you're more mad that you were wrong than you are about what they wrote. So I kind of just
feel like it's more like I came up with six scenarios and yeah, one of those scenarios was right. So
right, yeah,
I guessed it.
That's right. Take credit. Take credit all day long. So obviously, I'm not going to keep hammering on. I am a yay on this one. I've been a yay on most of them. I haven't been a nay on anything yet, but I have abstained here and there. But this is a yay. This was a good episode, good comedy, great quotes, great dialogue, and enjoyable to watch. I had fun with this one. All right, Dan.
Yeah,
bring us back down to earth.
No, I mean I'm going to be a yay, not as enthusiastic as you, but this episode did make me appreciate a little bit more. I can't watch the next episode until we do the podcast. Cause
yeah,
I kind of wanted to hit play as soon as this one was done. So
sure.
This is a yay, and let's see what happens. The whole MS thing, what's going on with Leo. Now they've really started pushing the shipping, as you call it. Let's see what goes on. So I'm looking forward to the next one.
I'm not the one that came up with the shipping tag. That's not me. I had to look it up like on Urban Dictionary because we're just two old guys trying to fit in, right? I mean, let's be honest. So that kind of closes out the caucus. And then our final segment of the show is On the Record. And On the Record is throughout the show. This is the second time that Dan's kind of pulled a little reversey-loo on me and actually quoted the show. Did you do that? Did you know that you did that on purpose?
I don't think I did I?
Oh, you absolutely did. You absolutely quoted the show. And I mean, like word for word in what you said. And so I am normally the one who's trying to slide quotes from the show that we're talking about into our conversation. Dan is the one who's trying to catch me. It's funny. I didn't get near the ones that I wanted to.
I only have one, and I think it's wrong.
Okay, what was it? Really? I'm surprised. Okay, what do you feel like you caught me in?
Fight with me, I'll lose. That was...
Yes, fight with me, I'll lose.
I can't name when that happened in the episode, though.
When Toby is having the conversations with the congressman and they're trying to get him to take stuff out of the State of the Union, and that's when he's frustrated because some of the parts of the speech that he really likes, they're trying to get him to change the verbiage, and that's when they find out that he's getting beat up on the arts and all that kind of stuff.
All right, that's all I got, man.
Even before Leo shows up in the bedroom, there's a great interaction between Charlie and the president where the president's been watching daytime television. And it sounds like with what he's talking about, they actually show a little clip from some
soap opera.
Yeah. Some soap opera from NBC. They show a snippet, which was actually a real show. And it's funny to me because that scene that they showed on the West Wing was just so ridiculous that I can't imagine real people watch this stuff. But he makes the comment about the soap opera that these people seem to have a lot of free times on their hand. Don't they have jobs that they have to go and do? And so I did say that at one point when I was talking about, Sam and Josh.
That up. I don't know when you said that.
I said, I know the feeling a number of times. And that's I'll give you the fact that that's hard to kind of pick out. It was poignant in the episode because there's a great line where Bartlett said, I tried to get up, but I fell back down again. And Leo's response to him was, I know the feeling, referencing how Bartlett had been there for him through his addiction and his recovery and everything. So I did use that. You actually said, I am, as you know, exceedingly stupid. And that is something that Lord John Marbury says to Leo when Leo is kind of questioning, can we really buy off India? Is that really something that we can do?
And talks about, I did say that. Maybe it's just in my repertoire these days.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, kudos to you. I think it's absolutely awesome that you you
think it's absolutely true as well.
No. I think you struggle with proper nouns. That's what I think. But I have no. I think you're of the two of us. You're the much more intelligent. I fully believe that. So anyway, that's everything we have for. Were there any other conversations or quotes you can think of that you really liked from the episode?
No, not off the top of my head.
I think we covered.
I'm looking forward to watching the next one. Actually, I think I'm going to get off this and go watch it.
I might actually do the same thing. So thanks so much for joining us on the show. We've had a blast. We will be doing the next episode. I think it's episode 13, season one, episode 13 will be the next show. If you can find it on a streaming service or rent it, have the DVDs, whatever, watch it and then join us back as we keep proving that hindsight's not always 2020. This has been Rerun Retrospect.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Rerun Retrospect. If you'd like to connect with us, you may email us at rerunretrospect@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @rerunretrospect. We hope you'll join us for our next episode where we keep pulling big ideas off the small screen.